The gospel is from Matthew. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Well, those who are around report that the last words of the founder of our tradition, Martin Luther's last words were, "We are beggars, this is true." Of course, he said it in German, but in German he said, "We are beggars, this is true." Most of you probably know Luther, of course, is famous for having sort of started the Protestant Reformation, for having kind of rediscovered the gospel message at a time when the church had fallen into great corruption. And for Luther, understanding Jesus and the gospel begins when we understand our total dependence on God for life, healing, and forgiveness. For Luther, there's this idea that in the presence of God, no one can be proud and no one can save themselves. When we approach God, who created the world, who gave us everything good in our lives, who died for our sins, we have nothing on God, and God has everything on us. We owe God everything. If we're here at all, it's because of God. If we have work or homes or food, it's because of God. If we've found forgiveness or healing, it's because of God. If we have gifts and passions to celebrate and share, it's because of God. If we have family and friends to enrich our lives, it's because of God. And so we come into the presence of God, and all we can really do is beg for mercy and be thankful that God, in fact, is a merciful God. And so that's Luther's opinion on our relationship to God, we basically come into the presence of God and need his mercy. And I think he's right. I recently had an experience while I was in California that reminded me how much we're all in need of God's mercy, and certainly how much I'm in need of mercy and mercy from God. I went to California a few weeks ago for 2 weeks. The first week I was with our youth, our high school youth, at a beach camp. We had a fantastic time, had a wonderful experience. We have great kids in this church. And then the second half of our trip, my wife and children came out. Somehow she brought an infant and a two-year-old to California by herself. And so we kind of toured around and visited friends and family. And at one point we go to a place called the Fullerton Arboretum with my aunt and her children, to kind of spend the day there, at least the afternoon. And at the Fullerton Arboretum is this beautiful kind of park, and there's this pond, and in the pond are ducks and turtles and all this kind of stuff. And my two-year-old son is just totally in. He sees the turtles, and he starts running towards the pond. And I know that he has a history of kind of getting too excited and sticking a foot in the pond, so I run after him, and I'm standing next to him. And this begins just a comedy of errors where I make so many mistakes in a row. Well, I'm nearby, but I'm not near enough. And he goes, "Oh, a turtle," and falls in. And luckily, it's not too deep. It's only a foot and a half. But I need to get him out. And he's too far for me to grab him from the shore. So I stick my foot in the water to get him out. And there's mud at the bottom of the pond. And so I go on my back, and I'm in the pond. And I knock him down on the way down. And I stand up and quickly pick him up and get him out of there. He's crying. You know, we walk up, Stephanie gets out our backpack. Of course, we bring extra clothes for our two-year-old. We didn't bring extra clothes for Dad. And so here I am sopping wet with my aunt and their children, hoping to spend a day. And I kind of have this 3 minutes of denial that I'm going to be able to hang out with them completely wet and go to lunch with pants that are completely sopping wet. And I realize after about 3 minutes, okay, I need to go change. So I'm going to go back to where we're staying. So they stay there. I get in our car. I start driving to where we're staying. I get off the freeway, and I stop at this red light, and I hear ding, 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 and I look, and we had already known this, that we were really low on gas because the kids had kind of been kind of crazy and, you know, just hadn't gotten around to it, and I knew we needed gas. And so the gas light's coming on and dinging at me, and I'm thinking, okay, we're probably pretty short. I'm going to turn the car off to conserve gas while I'm at this line, at this light. Well, I turn it off. The light turns green. I turn it back on, and it goes, ch-ch-ch-ch. And I'm like, oh, no. I do it again, and it does turn on, and I'm like, okay, thank God. Where's the nearest gas station? There it is. I go down the road about a block, turn into the gas station, say, okay, I'm going to get gas. Get out of my car, reach in my pocket, and I had left my wallet with all my wet stuff because it had gotten soaking wet too. So it was with my wife and kids at the Arboretum, and I think, oh no. So I start madly looking in my pockets for any sort of change. There's nothing there, not a penny. It's a rental car, so I start searching the rental car. I'm going under the cushions, under all the pads on the floor. I even at one point crawl in the trunk. It was a huge trunk, and kind of am looking for any change. It's the only time I've ever encountered a car where there's not a penny to put in the gas. So I get out, and there's this guy who's filling up, and he's kind of looking at me because I'm crawling in my trunk looking nervous. What a weird thing happens. This woman comes up to me with a gas can, this poor-looking woman, and she said, can you give me gas money? And I think, of all times, no, I don't literally have a penny to my name. And then finally, I go to this guy who's filling up, and I say, I'm sorry, you're never going to believe the story, but I fell in a pond where my son had fallen in, and that's why my pants are kind of muddy, and I have no gas money. We had run out of gas, too. Can I have a few bucks for gas? And he says, I'm sorry, I only have my card. I don't have any change. So I'm like, okay. And I start calling my aunt because I'm thinking this is going to take hours, but I guess they'll just have to come back. And it's tricky because they don't have the car seats. I have the car seats, so this is going to be a big mess. And then I hear the guy say, excuse me. And he says, you know, I'll just use my card. It can happen to anyone. What happened to you? What a nice sign of mercy. And I was thinking, though, it probably couldn't happen to everyone because a lot of stuff went wrong. But whatever. Thank you very much for the gas. So this guy gives me $2 or 2 gallons worth of gas. I thank him profusely. And here I was reduced to begging literally for gas. And this guy shows me mercy in my moment of need. Well, in the end, this experience was very stressful. It was very embarrassing. And it was truly a humbling experience. But looking back, and kind of soon after I had it, I realized how healthy an experience it is to have things like this happen to you once in a while, or maybe not happen to you, but you cause yourself. Because once in a while, we need to remember how much the world relies on mercy to happen, to kind of work together. How much all of us are going to have times where we are going to need mercy, and where we just can't do it on our own. Well, we get to our story today, and the story today is also all about mercy. We meet a Canaanite woman who comes to Jesus and begs for mercy on behalf of her daughter. And she says to Jesus, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. Well, Jesus' reaction might surprise us because at first he just ignores her, and then he ends up calling her a dog and tells her basically that he's there to help the people of Israel and not the Canaanites, you know, calling her a dog in the process. But she persists. She doesn't let his ignoring her or insulting her end her pursuit. She persists and says to Jesus, yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Well, before we get to kind of interpreting this story as a whole and what it means, I think we have to deal with the problem of this passage that I think a lot of us find, at least, and that's the problem that Jesus' character, how he treats this woman, is pretty unsettling, isn't it? He seems to insult her. He seems not to show any compassion, at least initially. So what's going on? Why would he treat a woman like this who comes asking for help? Well, a little bit of historical background can be helpful. So it says that this woman is a Canaanite. And the Canaanite, historically, are the enemies of the Jewish people. We hear in the Old Testament how the Jews settle a land called Canaan, and the Canaanites are the people who lived there before the Jewish people did. And because they were kind of both trying to live in the same place, there was great conflict between the Canaanites and the Israelites. Lots of wars, lots of bitterness, disagreements about religion. And many good Jews believed that a good Jew should have nothing to do with Canaanites, And therefore, God should have nothing to do with Canaanites either, right? They were accursed people who weren't part of God's covenant, like the Jews were. Well, so this is the kind of perspective that was very popular in the day, that God has nothing to do with Canaanites. They're not part of God's mercy. And so Jesus initially seems to reflect this kind of viewpoint, the commonly held belief that God's mercy was for the Jews and not for the Gentiles, and especially not for the Canaanites. But then we see in this story there's this shift where after refusing to help her, he in the end decides he is going to help her out. Why is there this shift? Well, there's been kind of two main theories on what's happening when Jesus kind of changes his story. One is that Jesus, when he calls her a dog and verbalizes how he's there only to help the people of Israel, some people say what he's doing isn't, he's not saying something that he himself believes. He's not lifting up a position and saying, look, God doesn't like you, and I don't like you either, and I don't want to help you. But what he's actually doing is he's kind of exposing a position, a religious position that was popular at the time, for the very purpose of then undercutting it and saying, you know what, here's a position that a lot of people believe, and actually it's not true. God's mercy is for everyone, not just the Jews, but even the Gentiles and even the Canaanites. Some have suggested when he calls her a dog, maybe he was even kind of looking over at the disciples, kind of saying, this is how you would say it, right? Kind of saying it sarcastically in order to expose what a lie it is. Well, that's one view, that Jesus doesn't really mean it and that he's just verbalizing those kinds of ideas in order to then break them down. Another possibility is that he really does think in that way at the beginning of this story and then changes his mind. And people who read the story like this want to point out that according to our creeds, according to our faith, Jesus is at the same time 100% divine and 100% human. And if Jesus is truly human, well, can't that mean that he occasionally learns new things? And when he learns new things, doesn't he occasionally change his mind? And if he's truly human, isn't it possible that he learns something new from this woman that he hadn't realized? Maybe this is one of those moments where what he learned from this woman actually changed his own understanding of his mission. Maybe he had thought, coming into this experience, that his mission was only to Israel, but coming out, seeing the faith of this woman, his very understanding of his own mission changes, and he sees his mission not just to save the Jews, but to save the world. Well, these are two perspectives, that he doesn't mean it or that he does and changes his mind. And ultimately, we really don't know which one it is because there's no answer key. It doesn't ever tell us what's going on in his head. It only reads as it reads. And so we don't know the answer of why Jesus changes his mind and why he shows mercy. But what we do know is that at the end of the day, Jesus does show mercy. He shows mercy even to a Gentile. And so this story is ultimately, whatever he meant when he said the things he said, it's a story about good news. And this would have been news at the time for a lot of people, right? The news that God wants to show mercy to the entire world, to everyone, not just to the good people, not just to the chosen people and the people of the covenant, or to hardworking people, but Jesus wants to show mercy to everyone. Well, this is a good thing. I think we often don't think about it when we read a story and we think, look how mean he was to that lady, and we think of it just as being to her. But most of us probably aren't of the Jewish background, right? And so we can hear Jesus calling us dogs too and saying we're not part of the covenant, except for that in this story, he changes his tune and comes to embrace this Canaanite woman. Well then, this story is ultimately about God's mercy being for all people. Well, what does this mean for us? Jesus loves all people. God wants to show mercy for all people. What does this mean for our lives? Well, I think on a simple level, the job of the Christian is to follow Christ, is to love Jesus, to serve Jesus, and also to follow in the way of Jesus. And if Jesus shows mercy in this story, then I guess one of the takeaways is that we're supposed to approach our neighbor with mercy as well. You know, I shared that kind of funny, awful story of what happened to me earlier, and one part of the story that always haunts me since it's happened is the part where this woman comes up to me with a gas can asking for money. And I really couldn't do anything for her at that point. But I've thought about it since. Had I had some change, had I had my card on me, would I have helped her the way that I received help? Or would I have come up with an excuse as to why she was lazy or she should have been more careful or, you know, it's my money and I don't want to share? Would I have come up with an excuse as to why I shouldn't help her? Do I show mercy when I can, or do I come up with excuses as to why people don't deserve mercy? Well, I think we look at the world, and it's a world where so many people are in need of mercy. We look at people who are in need of love and encouragement, like poor Robin Williams, who are facing depression. We look at the poor and the homeless in our own country. We look at those who are facing violence around the world in our own communities, like those in the Middle East and Iraq. We look at those who are immigrating to the U.S. out of desperation, fleeing violence, or because they're poor. And with a lot of those problems, the answers aren't simple. I honestly don't have the answers, especially to some of the political ones. I don't know how we can solve all those problems. They're complex issues. They probably have complex answers on what we need to do. But I do know that this story suggests that when we see our neighbor in need, we need to have mercy. We need to at least have mercy in our hearts. Because if we don't approach our neighbor with love and mercy, whoever they are, whatever their background is, then we're not really following Jesus. And so today, as we live our lives, we can be thankful that we've already received mercy, right? That's one of the beauties of Christianity, that Jesus has died for us, and he's made us, and he's claimed us, and he's forgiven us, and that God has therefore also sent us to be mercy in the world. And so we can pray today that God would bless us all so that we would know the mercy of God for ourselves, certainly know it, but also show it to other people. Show mercy to those who are in need, to all our neighbors. Amen. Let's stand as we continue in song.